Good morning. Today's readings from 2 Kings chapters 4, verse 1 through 7. Elisha helps a poor widow. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mark. Well, Mark's read the story and had it with the children's story too. But, you know, one of the things that hasn't been said is that really there are two stories that come before this, and they're absolutely incredible stories. The first one is in 2 Kings 2:19, where we have this statement that there's a big problem because the people of Israel are facing an impossible situation. The water supply that they had was polluted. You couldn't drink it, and there was no answer that was in sight at all. They were in a hard way. They couldn't water their crops. The water was just dark and dead. And into that, with expectancy and trust, they went to the prophet Elijah and asked for God's help. And the incredible thing is, got to go back there. The water was turned by God to become pure. And the scripture reads in verse 22 of 2 Kings 2 that it's remained that way ever since. That's 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 5, we have a story of war. And what was thought by the people to be an incredible, wise, great military strategy that would win them the victory turned out to be a disaster. And they were on death's door. It looked to be a certainty. And so King Jehoshaphat went to Elisha again with a request for God's help, and Elisha said to him, "This is a simple thing for the Lord to do." And a miraculous victory came out of that, again, impossible situation, God being their provider. And then we come to the story that Mark read, and we've got another impossible, desperate kind of situation. Let me say at the outset here that, you know, the story says several things to me, but one of them is that we really have no 100% guarantee against having to go through sudden and unexpected loss in life. We don't. We don't have that guarantee. We can lose position. We can lose finances. Sometimes even life gets lost. There's no guarantee that we're going to not have the hard time, that our families, our children, our grandchildren. I think at 11 o'clock, I'm going to say, well, we got some folks with great-grandchildren, you know. No guarantees there that challenging times aren't going to come into our lives. Here was a widow with two sons. Her husband, get this, he'd been a prophet working with Elisha. I mean, I'm going to direct that more to me, you know, like one of the ministers. Like, you know, you think the ministers, hold on, I know you don't believe this, but, you know, the holy ones, right? No guarantees there either. The difficult seasons won't come. Husband dies. Big debt. Sons to be taken off to slavery. Absolutely nothing. She appeals to Elisha. Well, the story we told, what do you have? And Elisha, I love this too. You know, you think of the stories in 2 Kings chapter 2 and chapter 3. Elisha's dealing with the powerful and the mighty, those who run the show, okay, kings. And here he's dealing with a desperate widow. You know, what's that say about God? When it comes to the Lord, there's no favoritism, okay? There's no in and out, up and down, you know, left and right. There's no powerful and rich and poor and needy. God's heart is for you, for me. It really is for everyone. And Elisha made himself completely available to this woman. And I also think to myself, you know, chapter 3 of 2 Kings, Elisha said, this is a simple thing for the Lord. You know, the Lord could have had Elisha snap his fingers, and all of a sudden there would have been all these barrels of oil magically appearing, filled, overflowing, you know, brimming over, all that she needed. But that's not what happened. What do you have? Elisha, and I think what God was doing, in order to see this, you know, from empty to overflowing and filled to up to the brim and, you know, and spilling out over, is to see, you know, faith in action, really. To see this woman take what she had and put it into action. And I want to say here as well, you know, that this woman had her answer in exactly the way that she was looking for, and having more than enough. She didn't know it was going to happen through the olive oil. But it's, again, not always the guarantee that things are going to roll out in the smooth way that we'd like to see them, that we get exactly what we think is the right thing. That, no, it's, I love the way David approaches things. I've heard him talk, and he helped us here at the beginning of the month in May. You know, the important thing is discerning what it is God wants. What's God want for Heritage Green? Not what David Moody or Alex Douglas want, but what does God want? What does God want? And we pray into that, believing into that. We take what we have, put that faith into action, and seek to align ourselves with God's heart. Isaiah 43:19 tells us that God is always about doing things that are new. And then the Lord says, see, it's already begun. You're not there yet, but it's already started. What is it in your life? I mean, you may not be where you think you'd like to be, but it's already started. God is doing that new thing. And the passage in Isaiah 43 goes on to say this, that God will make a pathway through the wilderness. He will create rivers in the dry and arid wasteland. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but have you gone through wilderness? Have you gone through the wasteland? You say, well, no, actually I haven't. Well, it will happen. It will happen somehow, it will happen. It will take place someday. But faith in the Lord, you'll have what you need to walk through it, to live through all of those seasons of wilderness and wasteland. Years and years ago, Matt is on his way to Charlottetown, Truro in Charlottetown, but you know, 35 plus years of making that trip down to the North Shore and PEI, I don't know how many of those years we spent with first it was a cassette and then it was a CD. I think it actually started out being an 8-track, actually. But, you know, we moved all the way along, but it was Don Moen singing a song that goes like this. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Well, you want to say the words with me? Why should I say them by myself? Why don't you? I'm not going to ask you to sing, okay? But just, well, you could if you want. Go for it, Gene. But say them with me, will you? God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. We come to the table, And I want to offer the invitation and a question that the Apostle Paul asks in Galatians. Does the God who lavishly makes a way, provides you with His own presence, His Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does He do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust Him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God. Abraham did. And that act of belief was turned into a life that was made right with God. Friends, it's believing God that opens up the door as we come even to this table here for the gifts of God, for the provisions of God for us. God, the Lord, our provider, making a way for us. And how much of a belief does it take as you come to the table? Well, where's my thimble? It's gone, but it's somewhere, okay? You see, all that it takes is that you believe with whatever that drop of oil is that God's already put in your life and that you have. That faith in action, you put that belief in the Lord and the supply of God for you, beginning as you come to this table, will be limitless. We're going to affirm our faith, this act of believing God. Let's stand together and do that from Psalm 145. We've already been singing about it in our service. Let's do it as one. We believe in God who's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. We believe in God whose kingdom is everlasting, whose dominion endures through all generations. We believe in God who is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. We believe in God who is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. We believe in God who is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. We believe in God, the Holy and Glorious One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray as we come to the table. Throughout this service, we've been singing about this, Lord, that You are the life-giving.